Our next case is Concrete Leveling Solutions versus Main Street Properties. Are you ready to proceed? You may approach.
Thank you.
Morning, Ms. Swanson.
Good morning. Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Steffi Swanson, and I represent Main Street Properties, LLC, the appellant in this cause of action. I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, please. This action is a breach of contract action. The parties entered into a contract in which Main Street Properties hired Concrete Leveling to perform void fill under its property in Sarpy County. As part of that contract, Concrete Leveling agreed to perform the void fill at a cost of $3,250. That was a flat rate contract that's argued by Main Street, and that is the price that he agreed to pay for any work that was performed. The parties agree that there was work that was performed at Main Street's property by Concrete Leveling. However, the evidence shows that there was a lack of full performance by Concrete in that void fill was only completed under about one-third of the sidewalk. Concrete Leveling billed Main Street Leveling for $8,250 for the work that was performed, and Main Street Property tendered payment only for the $3,250 based on the contract price. As a result of the non-payment by Main Street, Concrete Leveling filed an action for breach of contract by Main Street. Main Street also filed a counterclaim alleging that Concrete Leveling breached the contract by failing to perform its duty by completing the work that was contracted for. The District Court of Sarpy County entered an order providing that Main Street's counterclaim was dismissed and denied, and awarded judgment in favor of Concrete Leveling for the invoiced amount of $8,250, not the contract price of the $3,250.
Counsel, would you agree that in email correspondence there was discussion that a field adjustment to the price would be necessary?
We agree that there was that email was sent. That email was sent prior to any work being started by Concrete Leveling. The email correspondence also specifically states that an adjustment may be necessary. It didn't say that an adjustment was necessary. The email also provided that if an adjustment was required, that cost increase would be communicated to Main Street Properties.
And is there evidence that that happened? Any further communication about the price?
The evidence shows that there was no further written communication between Concrete Leveling and Main Street Properties with regards to an increase in the price.
Any oral?
There was testimony during the trial, and there was a disagreement. There was conflicting testimony between the parties in that Main Street Property testified that the communication indicated that it would be a couple hundred dollars, maybe $500. However, the testimony of Concrete Leveling stated that the price increase was $5,000. So there's conflicting testimony.
And what do we do with that conflicting testimony in our standard of review in a bench trial?
I think we need to look at the plain language of the correspondence and the contract between the parties and review based on that specific contract and find that they had a contract for $3,250. There was no change to that agreement. There was no meeting of the minds between those parties, and that's the contract that should be enforced.
So the court found that the contract had been abandoned. Is that
correct?
Understanding? So your argument is that was error to find that.
That's correct. Based on the evidence of that email, the specific email correspondence between the parties that specifically stated that communication would be made, and there's testimony from Main Street that they said, well, you'll send me a work order, a change order, you'll send me something in writing for me to approve. There was evidence also that...
Was that oral testimony on that last one? That there will be a change order and for me to approve? That was oral, though, right?
Yes, that was testimony during the trial.
When was the communications, the oral communications about the disagreement on the field adjustment. That take place prior to the time that they started the project, during the project, or after the project?
It's difficult to ascertain, but I believe that it was during the first day that work was being performed. I would also argue that during the first day that work was performed, concrete leveling knew, based on a count of strokes used for inserting the product, they knew at the end of the day what the cost would be for the amount of void fill that was inserted under the sidewalk. They did not communicate that to Main Street. He was silent. He knew at that point that the cost was already probably double what he had quoted on the original work order. And he did not communicate to give Main Street Properties the opportunity to say, stop, you're over budget, you're over the concrete, over the price of the contract, I don't want you to continue. He was not given that opportunity because that was not communicated to him.
But there's testimony that Mr. Shannon told concrete leveling representative to do what you've got to do to get it done.
Yes.
So we're talking about credibility of witnesses here, aren't we, basically? And that was the call for the trial judge?
True. I would agree.
And a verdict or a judgment rendered in a bench trial is similar to a jury verdict?
Correct.
Pretty tough standard, isn't it? To overcome?
Yes. The appellant claims that there were three errors with regards to the district court's order. The first is that the court failed to find that concrete leveling breached its duty by failing to perform the contract. They had one job, and that was to insert void fill under the sidewalk. The district court did not give enough credibility or rely on the report of Donald Anderson and the testimony of Donald Anderson, which established that there was only void fill under about one-third of the sidewalk. Mr. Anderson's report indicated that there were drill marks made throughout the sidewalk. However, when the sidewalk panels were removed, there was no foam, no evidence of any foam having been inserted under about two-thirds of the sidewalk. So clearly there was a breach of concrete leveling in failing to insert any foam under those panels of the sidewalk.
But what do we have that would suggest that was like 160 feet of sidewalk, right?
Correct.
I mean, how do we know where you needed fill and where you didn't? It all depends on what needs to be adjusted and what doesn't. Isn't that something that is just, again, something for the trial court to look at and decide?
Well, there was testimony by concrete leveling that they drilled the holes throughout the sidewalk and they inserted foam under the entire sidewalk. But there was no evidence that that actually is what took place once the sidewalk panels were removed. There should have been evidence of foam.
There have been apparently some heavy rains or something from the time the contract was first bid, which I think was June, and then the work didn't start till September, correct? So apparently some erosion had occurred underneath that sidewalk. Is that fair?
I see I'm out of time. May I answer?
You are under your rebuttal. Could you just give me a quick answer on that?
There was conflicting testimony by the parties with regards to the amount of rain that had occurred between June and September.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning, Mr. Smeal.
Morning, Your Honors. Please, the court, counsel. Aaron Smeal for the appellant, Concrete Leveling Systems. Judges, appellant's position here essentially is that there was an agreed upon price for an agreed upon end result. The trial court determined that that was not the case, that that was not the type of contract that we had, and that's consistent with the contract itself, which was received at Exhibit 25.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you real quick.
Sure.
I felt as if the court said there was a contract, but the contract was abandoned.
I agree with that. What the court said was that there was essentially no meeting of the minds as to the written contract. What I think the written contract, and ultimately enter judgment on a quantum merit theory. But what the contract itself, what the proposal, I'll call it a proposal since ultimately the court determined there wasn't a contract, it made it clear that concrete leveling went into this and that the appellant went into this with an understanding that there was no guarantees that this was going to work, that it was going to level the sidewalk. And so in order for there to be a breach, there would have to be that duty and that duty not met. So the court...
That goes to the counterclaim.
Correct. So we think that the counterclaim was properly dismissed.
To the price of the work.
Yeah, so as to the price of the work, what the trial court determined was that a judgment was, that the CLS was entitled to a judgment, and it came up with a number of $8,250. And it's pretty clear how the court got there. First, with respect to quantum merit, I think, you know, the appellant cites one case, the appellee another, and what determines, I think, which one's applicable, I don't know that affects the outcome too much, but the appellant's quantum merit case that it relies upon contemplates partial performance, and the appellee's quantum merit case that it relies upon says we get paid for the value of the work that we did, okay? And so it's not a partial performance. We did what we were supposed to do. We provided a service. We got to a point where we knew it wasn't going to be successful to level. We stopped, and the other side said, let's not continue down this path. But
the court found the value of that was actually the $13,000 figure.
Ultimately, the evidence suggested it was a $13,000 figure, but remember that, you know, with respect to quantum merit, what the court went back to, even if the value was $13,000, I think, and the court doesn't specifically say this, but it's the only way I can come up with how they got to that $8,250, is that the concrete leveling said there's going to need to be a field adjustment, and Dave Geis from Concrete Leveling testified it may be in the neighborhood of an additional $5,000. And then, consistent with that, Concrete Leveling said, that's fine, I'll just bill you the $8,250. And so the trial court looks at it and says, the second element for quantum merit is that the other party accepted the services with knowledge of the expectation to pay. And so the court, I think, looked at it and said, I can see where, where Main Street can be expected to have paid more, and I can see where Main Street might have thought it was going to be $5,000 more, not an additional $10,000 more. And so I think that's how the court got there. It's speculation, but it's the only way I can come up with it, and it is consistent with
the case law. Well, and the court said in its order that even though it found the value to be $13,000, your client had sent a bill for the $8,250, so therefore had indicated it was willing to accept $8,250 for the work, and that's what the judge awarded.
That's correct.
I think that was a pretty simple explanation as to how he got there.
Yeah, I mean, he said you agreed to accept it. But again, it's also consistent with, I think, the controlling case on how we value a quantum merit. So I think it was right in both regards.
It's the fair and reasonable value of the services rendered.
Correct. Some things I think are important. You know, there's this notion that there wasn't concrete under the entire sidewalks, 167 feet.
You mean foam?
Foam, excuse me. There wasn't foam underneath the concrete entire 167 feet. But again, the contract did not go into place as written, but it does make clear that CLS's proposal, Concrete Leveling's proposal, was that it would be injecting foam under about every other panel. That's written right in that agreement. Now, I recognize they went down another path and came to some agreements by communications, both written and oral, but the idea that this project would require foam under the entire sidewalk is inaccurate. So that isn't how it works, so to speak. And the fact that foam wasn't found, remember, we've got a whole bunch of time frames. We've got a proposal. 90 days later, we've got an attempt to accept that proposal. We've got a subsequent conversation that says, I can't still do it this way because of the passage of time. It's possible the job site has changed and is going to require more attention, more work, and more expense. Then from there, ultimately, CLS isn't able to level the sidewalk, work stops, and then somebody comes in not to level the sidewalk, but to tear it out, and that was at least 6, maybe more, months later by the time somebody comes in and tears it out. You've got erosion going on. That's the whole reason that there's a void under there. And this It wasn't a report by Anderson. I just want to make it clear. I don't believe it was expert testimony in the form of a report. He was a fact witness saying what he saw when he tore out a sidewalk. But when he did, one of the things he said, and this wasn't touched on by the appellant, but he says, well, it looks like they were trying to snow you by injecting all this foam around the front edge to make it look like they'd injected foam. No, again, that's a problem with not understanding how the process works. The void's under there, and the testimony was, you inject the foam, the two fluids combine, and then they expand. But they need something to adhere to, they need something to push against, and something to stick to. Well, it wasn't working, work stopped. Now you've got foam in a void, and you've got erosion obviously continuing, and basic understanding of erosion, right? The water breaks the dirt down into smaller material, and eventually it flows away. The polyfoam doesn't break down and doesn't shrink. So as the soil is being carried away, it's going to be carried to the first place that it can no longer escape. And so it's going to build up along the front edge of the sidewalk. So essentially, I point that out only to demonstrate that this witness who I think there's an effort to try to characterize him as an expert was really just a fact witness and one that didn't understand the process of how this works.
I'm going to go back to the abandonment part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree that your client had entered into a contract to perform these services for $3,250? At one point, you had a firm contract. Agreed?
I don't agree with that. I think that by the time they offer, there was an offer to enter into a contract, and then there was what's purported to be acceptance. But I don't think there was acceptance at the time that Main Street said, yeah, go ahead and do the work, because 90 days have passed. It has to be accepted within a reasonable period of time, and we have to look at the facts to determine if that's...
Well, the court said that the contract was abandoned. Prerequisite to that is that you had a contract to begin with, and then the parties abandoned it. Do you agree with that?
I would agree that if the trial court determined that there was a contract and it was abandoned, that there would have had to have been a contract. But I think that the contract occurred later and may have subsequently been abandoned.
Well, if there was a contract to begin with, at what point was it abandoned?
I think the contract was abandoned when the contract was formed by the September 11th email when Main Street said, I agree there's going to need to be field adjustments. When they went out there and the scope was so much larger, there's a $5,000 estimate.
There was emails before you started the project that said there's a possibility, the word possibility, and to counsel's point, the word may. But right. They commenced work prior to communicating that there would actually be a field adjustment. Agreed?
That is correct. They commenced work after they said there may need to be a field adjustment.
During the course of the project, then there's this oral testimony about different dollar amounts, right?
Correct. And I think that there was an agreement to go, they abandoned whatever the agreement was. The parties may disagree on what the ultimate original contract was. But at the end of the day, I think the court got it right when it said, listen, they moved away from that contract and went to this.
What was the point when it was abandoned?
I believe that it was abandoned when the scope of the work was even larger than concrete leveling, estimated when they asked Main Street to agree to field adjustments. When it went beyond the possibly an additional $5,000 to $10,000, and the parties agreed to continue down the road and say, do whatever it takes to get it done, I think at that point it was abandoned. And then it should have gone to the 13. And I think if there was a contract, and even if the court erred, it probably erred in the appellant's favor by not awarding the 13. But backed it back down to the 8. So I think when it went beyond the estimate of as much as $5,000 more, and the party said, we're going to continue on and see if we can get this done, whatever it may take, at that point, the original contract was abandoned, and there was an effort to try to get to an end result. But the end result couldn't be done. They all agreed on that, and they parted ways.
In terms of the courts determining that $8,250 is the fair price here, is that... a determination in equity by the court?
I think it is in quantum merit. I think it's an equitable determination as to the value of the services rendered and his indication of what he'd accept. One thing I want to point out briefly is that the quote about what's in the email about what may happen, as the appellant quotes it, it is completely inaccurate and changes completely what that quote means. And I think it's important if the court's looking at that to look at the actual quote and what was actually said in that regard.
Everything else? Thank you. How much time do we have for rebuttal?
1 minute, 23 seconds, sir.
Very good.
Your Honors, Main Street would assert that That Main Street was never advised that the process wasn't working and that he agreed to continue to do the work when he had no idea what the cost increase were amounting to. There was no communication as council stated.
Why did he say do whatever it takes to get it done?
That was on the first day when he arrived at the job site. They were inserting void fill and he noticed that there was no movement in the concrete. He didn't know at that point how much foam was actually being inserted. He was not made aware that they were, you know, hundreds of stroke counts beyond what they had anticipated. I also believe that, or it's Main Street's position that when Mr. Geist, who was doing the bid for Main Street, when he went back to the property before work started and he inspected the area, and he testified that he looked around and he thought that it was going to cost more, which was the reason for the email of September 11th, he should have communicated those anticipated costs specifically. He should have said, there will be a cost adjustment because of some additional erosion that I see. There will be an added charge. He didn't do that. He prefaced it that there may be. So what was Main Street to do? They did not receive a new work order. They did not receive any new prices from Concrete Leveling when Concrete Leveling knew what the price was going to be after the first day. Main Street continued with the project because he was not aware and was not given the ability to stop the work after the first day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. Thank you both for being here. We'll take the case under advisement, and you are excused, and we are adjourned.